that you provided for us. We're thankful, Father. But above all, Father, we're thankful for those people who have come here to this place, Lord. And above that, we're thankful for you. Even as this place is a tabernacle for us, we trust that each one of us is a tabernacle for you. And as this little building, Lord, is a witness that people gather here, may we also be witnesses that you have indwelt our lives, Lord, that we might be not only submissive to you in our minds, but even our bodies a living sacrifice. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us tonight in the meditation of your word to gain real truth and knowledge, Lord, for which our souls hunger. Father, be thou the great giver of all good gifts, which at this time we believe the greatest gift of all is the word of truth in this season, whereby we're sanctified and whereby we're going to get out of here without even a matter of dying, Lord. At least some will, Father, because we believe we're in that last day. So, Lord, let our hearts and our minds, and as never before, not just in this little gathering together, but each day progressively going forward with you, walking in the light as thou art in the light, having fellowship one with another as believers, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us. And we, Lord, listening to your voice carefully, not wanting our own desire, but wanting your will. And seeing your will accomplished in our lives so that we might be blessed inheritors of the kingdom of God. Not just inheritors by grace, Lord, but that same grace giving us an abundant entrance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we're going to try to answer some questions. You know, I don't like to put myself on the spot as though I have the answers, but there is this about it that we'll try to answer whatever questions that you bring up to us. Now, we can have them verbally or written out, whichever you've gotten. That's perfectly all right. But we'll start a little bit tonight just to get moving in the right direction. The other night, Brother Clausen brought up the thought of free moral agency and just exactly how it works. Well, I'm not going to tell you I know exactly how it works because I don't. But we might look at it a little bit from the viewpoint of Scripture and see what we come up with. Now, first of all, Brother Branham said God put Adam to a free moral agency. Now, we'll take the thought of Dr. Arthur Pink, and he said those words are really not words that should be used by anybody because the Bible does not say that man is either free moral or an agent. Well, that's true, but you understand that the Word of God written a very specific way and is not necessarily changed by men of real Christian caliber because they use terminology that will convey to you a better understanding because of the language of the hour. So Brother Branham saying man is a free moral agent, you would have to check with the rest of what he said to see why he actually put it in that light. It is true that man is not free. He's bound in sin, he's shaped in sin, conceived in sin, and shaped, iniquity comes forth, as Brother Brand said, speaking lies. He's got a real nature in him that shouldn't be there. He's a mixed up clod of earth because he's part serpent seed physical and part human physical. That's why Jesus had to be born the way he was born, to get rid of that serpent seed stuff. Noah was the last perfect man. That word perfect means genetically. The woman wasn't, the sons weren't, the wives weren't. We don't have just like the traveler, the traveling pigeon, the traveler pigeon, they call us that? He's extinct. Well, there's no such thing as a true human being. There just isn't when it comes to the flesh. That's why you're going to have a resurrection. And you'd have to have a resurrection anyway, because even in the flesh of people like the descendants of Adam, until they got all mixed up with the daughters of men, and people might not think that that's a true statement there because the sons of God were supposed to be like angels. That's a lot of rubbish. You take the type. Israel knew that. Take the type under Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra did his best to purge the priesthood of foreign women, Gentile women. See? And the Bible says the mingling of the seed is a wrong thing. So we go back there that man was genetically perfect at one time. And then he got to the place where he's in bondage to sin taking charge of his life. And then he's in bondage to his body being more animal and thereby carried away more desperately by passions. That's why you've got homosexuality and all these things today. You've got a complete run of serpent seed, I believe. That's why Brother Branham said, Judas, now I hope you're weaving in a lot in your mind that I'm saying things. They're very pertinent what I'm saying to you, if you're just catching what I'm saying. That's why Brother Branham said that Judas could heal the sick and raise the dead. And he was just the serpent seed ever was one, because he became the absolute habitation of the devil. It said the devil entered him, and Jesus did not say one of you is a devil. He said one of you is the diabolus, which you are the devil. See, read this. You can see now where a man has gotten to. So you look at the picture, he's not free. He's bound. Paul himself mentioned, he said, when I would do good, evil is with me. There's a binding there. There's a bad deal. He's not free, and he's not moral. How can you be moral if you're shaped in sin, conceived in iniquity, and come in the world speaking lies? You're desperately immoral. And then how can you be an agent of God? Well, see, that doesn't add up. But if you put it in the modern understanding, it is very good, because Brother Branham wasn't saying that. Now, you notice how he goes to the human being. Just try to follow me, because I'm just taking it off the top of my head as I go, trusting the Lord to help me. Now, man is a tripartite being. This is why I cannot agree with two souls, because Brother Branham didn't say there was a soul and a soul. Maybe he did. I can't catch it. Mine sounds like it, but one statement cannot obviate another statement. They have to come together. He said man is a threefold being. And he said he's a body and a spirit and a soul. Now, originally, he followed the Larkin concept, which evidently must be of God, because Brother Branham endorsed it. Now, you know as well as I do that Larkin said there was five inlets to the body, the senses, there's five to the soul, and five to the spirit. That's right. Now, if you know anything about study, you'll know that. That's why some people have accused Brother Branham of taking Larkin and calling it his own. That's a lot of hogwash. William Branham never came on the scene to give us the Bible all over. It was already printed. He just corrected the errors, and you had a perfect paper, so we have an understanding, see. So, okay, he mentions that the man is a tripartite being. Now, God is not tripartite. He's way, way beyond tripartite. He's one person with many, many offices and many, many facets and roles. But we have three parts to our beings, not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, no way, shape, and form, as though they're three distinct beings. But there is within us that threefold tripartite making us one, and one cannot live without the other. Okay, now then, he said, when he got the thing straightened out from God, it was not body, soul, spirit. It was body, spirit, soul. The soul was on the inside, and on the inside is a gene from God. And now when you are born again, and even before you're born again, within that soul, there is one thing that man has and nobody else has, evidently, what we're talking about, the animal kingdom and all this down here. Man has something that sets him apart and he must utilize, and that is the power of choice. So therefore, having that power, he can literally make a choice. So therefore, he is a free moral agent in this respect. You know what I'm saying? So you put it together, and you don't worry what theology says. You go to what true theology says, which is what Brother Branham brought us. So therefore, you have the power of choice within your soul. Now, the power of choice within your soul is not left to you as an individual, as it was back under what many people call the dispensational programming of God. For under the original dispensation, as they say, dispensation number one was innocence. Then under number two was conscience. Now that's a lot of hogwash. There are no such thing as seven dispensations. There's three dispensations, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. And the Son has the aspects of three. You know, that's Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. So we understand these things. Okay, we go back there. And there is no such thing as a dispensation of conscience. As though man could operate according to conscience. He can't do it. Now, he'll operate according to conscience, but it doesn't mean it's going to work. See? So what has God done? All right? It's simple. He's done it the same as he did it with Adam. So let's go and find out now. And I just want to bring this down to where I think it's simple, and maybe I'm way out on a limb. Who knows? But I really don't believe I am. All right? Verse 21 and the second of Genesis. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now that's exactly the way it was, and that's beautiful. And Adam said, now watch Adam's reaction. Now he's a very knowledgeable person. He knew what went on, and he knew the relationship. And he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Woman is the glory of man. He said, this is my masterpiece. He says, she's mine. She came from me. Now, this is a very endearing and beautiful statement. And he said, I'm going to call her woman because she was taken on a man. I remember years ago, we had an inspector come to our school, and he was a very sour, sober puss. And the teacher was scared to death of him, and we were scared of her, and we were scared of him. And we sat there shivering like icebergs. And he was telling us about man and woman. And he said, whoa, man. Woman is whoa, man. And I suppose it's been whoa, man ever since. Sorry for that terrible choke. But just when you pronounce words, you know, whoa, I guess means come out of her something. I don't know. She should be called woman because she came to me. Now listen. Now watch what God says. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now he said, look here. This is something that I'm setting before you. This is your woman, all right. But she's going to drive you to a choice. Now, see, God warned him. Now, everything that is set forth has within it a choice. And that choice is within our souls. And we will not go wrong if we listen to the word of God in our souls, not something in our conscience, which could have a dual seat. For all I know, which could be in the soul and in the spirit, which functions through the mind. Because the spirit always wants to get in the way. That's why you can be anointed with the true spirit of God and be as phony as Judas, because it never got down in your soul. See? Now that word has got to plug up the inlets to the soul. As Brother Branham said, the seed must come into the womb of the mind, down in the soul. And when it does, then that fertile mind, fertile soul, and I'm not making the mind and soul the same thing. No, they're separate, but they're both fertile. Then the mind, running everything through the scripture like a filter, will put everything to one side that's wrong, and the heart or the soul will positively then be stimulated to act upon that which is right, so that you do have a choice, and you are now a free moral agent. Now let's find out about that. We're going to go to 2 Peter. And I believe it's 3:17 here. Now you look at this. Now it says here, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It doesn't say you fall from the grace of God, as though you're going to be lost. Now God will whip you up and make you obey Him. But you notice right in here, there's a choice. So you see, when Brother Branham said you're like Adam, he could well have been talking to the elect of God, which I believe he must have been talking to the elect of God in this respect, that the man that's not born again could hardly be called a free moral agent. Now, when you have the scripture that tells you it's God in you both willing and doing of his good pleasure, then we must qualify as free moral agents. Now, let's go back a little bit more and just take a look at this picture. Wherein we stand on election and whatnot, which comes under the heading. Let's go back to Romans the 9th chapter, because that's where we, I suppose, had better look. Okay? And speaking here in that 9th chapter, specifically of election, and you'll notice it says here, let's take, let's just start reading at verse 1. We won't hurt ourselves. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Notice now, his conscience is perfectly good in this case. Because as a free moral agent, he turned his conscience over to God. As a free moral agent, he could have turned his conscience away from God, the same as that man in 1 Corinthians and got into sexual problems. Sure. Like Peter said, hold it. He said, you got a choice here. You can go one way or the other. You can do that tonight. You can listen to your wife or your girlfriends or your fathers and mothers. You can listen to the word. That's right. You can do what you want. You got a choice. Amen. Oh, I know people you don't think. Let's get this. It's very serious, brother, sister. Brother Branham drove 200 miles because he didn't tell a lie, but it was a lie. This is the hour for very serious convictions. Not just trifling. because it's 20 years closer than when you first believed. And if God's waiting on us, it might be another 120 years. I can see why Noah with that ark couldn't get out of there in a hurry. Not being fussing at us, but the point is, there are things that we should note and not be carried away, because just don't do things and wonder where they're going to go. The Bible warns us here where they are going to go, because that's what God started up by saying to Adam, look, she's wonderful, she's beautiful. But she'll destroy you if you're not careful. And that's the woman, that's the church, that's the doctor, and that is women, period. And men are gullible. Men are goofballs. They never learn how to be sweet, kind, and loving to their wives. At the same time, stand for Jesus Christ. Very, 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 very few. It's always got to be some play back and forth, like some charade. Someday you should read the old essays of the old men of God in the time of Wesley, and you'd find what real Christian gentlemen really were. And William Branham was the last, I suppose. He was a man born out of due season. Came up out of the gutter, but old brother, lilies come out of the mud, and we saw a beautiful lily. Okay, now we're talking. Here, about this thing here. His conscience. You've got to watch this. See, my conscience don't bother me. A lot of folks' conscience don't bother. He ain't got no conscience bother. Like Brother Ben said, ain't no more conscience hips, the snake got hips. Beautiful thought. Good thinking, Brother Bill. He said, my conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sore in my heart. Now, how could his conscience have witness of the Holy Ghost only by the words? And he said, let me be a curse and everybody else curse me, that changes his words. For I could wish myself to were a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh of Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever? Now listen, you realize what I read here? I brought this once before. Israelites, they have the adoption, they have the glory, they have the covenants, they were blessed with giving out the word of God, they served God, they had the promises, they had the fathers, and Christ came to them, and they said, forget it. I told you the other Saturday night they had tremendous insight. Oh, they were looking, is this the generation? Oh, they're way ahead of us. We are much, much worse shaped than this, because we've got all this and more. And if we saw what the blood of a lamb could do, what do you think the blood of God's going to do in this hour? What a kind of people we ought to be, brother, sister. I'm not standing up here looking at myself in a positive way and you can negative. I'm just telling us what we ought to be. I'm just pointing it out. Everyone's striving. It's an individual confrontation. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. And you believe me, it didn't fail back there. It's not going to fail tonight either. I don't care if the world's 99% homosexual and that's a bunch of burning chaff. That's fine. They let them speak in tongues and dance and hoop and holler. Do what they want. I don't care if they do. Everybody, little bride, get out of here, brother, sister. This word of God is effective, and don't you think it's not? They're going to come back and take this earth plumb over lock, stock, and barrel. Don't worry about that. They worry about it. Like Peter said, you better watch our own steadfastness. See, steadfast right with this word. I say pretty tough things up here at times. I think you understand why I say them. If I didn't have to say them, I wouldn't say them. Now, he said, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel. This message can't take effect to anybody but the elect. We'll see that. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. For we're all Pentecostals. Hallelujah. So what? We all listen to Brother Branham. So what? Ha! Brother, sister. Listen to Brother Branham. Fap. How do we listen to him? Through the old traditional ears. You can't budge me. Took a bulldozer. No way. Blind, deaf, and dumb to what many things that he said. I told you it took me 4.5 hours in one point. Now, where does it leave you? Well, you say, I'm not dumb like you. Thank you. That's very nice. Prove it. Prove it. I'll issue that challenge to every person living. Could you have understood the baptism with the Holy Ghost and rebirth as one and the same thing the way Brother Branham preached it? Unless I told you, after 4.5 hours, you couldn't have done it. Because I couldn't believe my ears. I was hearing what he was saying. After 4.5 hours, I finally said, are my ears hearing what you're saying? He said, now you got it. Oh, man, 4.5 hours. I couldn't even listen to Lovely Symphony. I thought the other day I heard, C in a major key? Yeah, see? It's beautiful. I don't think I could even listen to that for 4 hours. Not even if you told me how lovely I was. I couldn't listen to that for four seconds. I'd say, what's that bird trying to get out of me? So because you're a Pentecostal Methodist, you hear Brother Branham, you think that makes you seed? And Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. They're the children of promise. Now, you know what flesh can do, brother, sister. Look at the Arabs today. Have you ever seen anything as putrid as those Arabs? Have you read what the Turks did to the Christians? Oh, there's a big hue and cry today to befriend the Arabs. I say, sure, befriend it. Bring them the gospel. Do what you can. But don't you thumb your nose at Israel. You'll die for that. Because 144,000 are still there. I don't care if politics put them over there. Brother Branham said politics did. We know Zionism did. And they know that it did. You got a conservative branch of Jews right now that say, listen, that 7-day war and all this stuff, we don't care two bits of that because God didn't do it. We're waiting for God to do it. The prophet said God did that. Put them in there and did that. There's 144,000 going to be called out. Get your heart and eyes where it belongs. Now, don't say, I don't believe an Arab can be saved, and they're filth and this and that. But you better remember one thing. You better know where your priorities are. Now, we might not like a lot of things those Wall Street Jews do. Brother Branham didn't either. He said, I don't mean those Wall Street Jews. But he said, even those sobbers could have been the 144,000. Now, he might have had a different connotation on freedom fighters than what you and I have. That's beside the point. We just take it as we come. The children of the promise are counted. And this is the word of promise, that this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Well, that's our word of promise right now. This time I will come. And you, he did come. And he left a period of time. Stay right there until he came. And there's a period of gestation going on right now, too. Don't think there isn't. Before we meet him in the air. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. Now watch. One wife. One husband, one conception, two children. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or ill, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now that word election in there means to make a choice, and it means to take the favorite one. So therefore God had a favorite. Now, we know that Isaac boo-booed. Isaac had a favorite because his idea was, hey, my firstborn son. Now, I'll tell you what, man is a lot like Glenn Clark. Now, Glenn Clark was a more or less a modified Christian Scientist Unity type of fellow. He believed in some type of salvation. That's all right what he believed in. There's no skin off of my nose one way or the other. But he believed anyway. And he said, man looks for a sort of immortality. And he said, often, he said, that immortality is in the form of children, where your first son, and it's been, this is history, where the son carries on the family name, the family blood. All right? Isaac was just like Glenn Clark. It didn't matter to him that Jacob was the one that God wanted. He wanted his way, and he wanted the son, which was the firstborn, which would be the perpetuator of good old Isaac. But I'm going to tell you something. God said Jacob was. So right in here now, a sanctified mother and father, you got two seeds. Now remember, he said concerning Jeremiah, before you even formed in the womb, I knew you. Where in the world was he? He's back in Christ, back in God, back in the foreknowledge. Okay, so therefore we see here, to make a choice and to pick the favorite. And he said unto her, the younger shall serve, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now the reason I'm bringing this out is because we talked about a free moral agency. Now, you will notice in these two boys, they both had a choice. Now, the second boy, which is Jacob, really didn't believe that he had the choice. But he wanted what the other fellow felt he had the choice to, or really the right to. And when it came down to it, you will notice that God did not allow this man to have a choice to take what he could have taken according to his father, Isaac, because God had not so listed it. Now we're getting something here a little different. See? What should we say then? Is God unrighteous? God, is righteous with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and compassion will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. All right, now that's a case back there where you find out that the two men did not actually have a choice. They were not free moral agents in this respect. Now you notice what God put them both to the free moral agency choice though. Because the day came when the chips were down, and now Esau despised his birthright. Now he had the ability to make the choice. And he made a choice. And God knew how he'd make that choice because he was so constituted. But God didn't say you got to make the choice and force him to a choice. He brought him to a place where a choice must be made. And then out of his own heart he spoke and he said, who needs a birthright if I'm going to die? What's worth $1 billion? The Taj Mahal, forget the Taj Mahal. Everybody in India is dying. I'll give it to you for a barrel of beans. And I can believe the Pope would do the same thing. And I was told the other day that the Vatican's assessed it to build a $2,000 billion. Can't quite believe that, but that's what they told me. Now, if the Pope were starving, and he's not a miracle man, he'd give you that for the bag of beans and watch you die. Now, let us pretend the Pope's a very lovely person. He could well be. Full of the Holy Ghost, he ain't. That takes care of that. But you get the point I'm trying to show you. See, he wouldn't be forced to do it. But that's what Esau did. He said, who needs a birthright? Who needs the promise of a land and a continuity when there isn't any? And Jacob said, I see way beyond a bag of beans. And Esau said, well, what about if you give me the bag of beans? What'll you do? He said, I'll get another bag of beans. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Now you see, one person made a choice according to a conscience which was mutilated by sin and undoneness, and one made a choice according to a conscience that was not undone, but was one which had in it a seed from Almighty God working from the soul. So it's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And then he says over here, why doth he yet find fault? Who hath resisted his will? Now you notice that Paul cannot answer that question. It is inscrutable. It is back in the mind of God, because nobody can go back to the mind of God further than to say, look, that's where you were. That's what it is. Put up and shut up. And that's what Paul said. Now, can you find a man here that had all the answers and then turn around and chicken like this? Let me tell you something. There's nobody got all the answers. There's nobody got all the answers. No way. And if they do have answers, let me put it this way. They are not able to get it across. Brother Branham said, I know it, but he said, I can't say it. He said, I can't put it across. Maybe he said, I can't express it. Well, that's exactly true. I'd like this one answered. For the man said, who's resisted his will? How can you find fault? How can God look down and draw a line? How can God do this and how can God do that? Now, the prophet went further than anybody to explain it. And he took up where Irenaeus left off, who was taught by Polycarp, who was taught by John. And John certainly knew the things of the Godhead. He said, God being a Savior, it's necessary for him to predestinate a man to require a sinner, to require salvation, in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. God being a healer, he had to predestinate a man who would be sick to give himself reason and purpose of being. And in here, the reason and purpose of being is what is brought out, because that's exactly what it says here, that the purpose of God, according to election. Now remember, the purpose is fulfilled according to election. Election is not fulfilled according to purpose, although it is. They work hand in hand. Election will come from purpose. But God had a master plan. And that plan had to start in a foreknowledge, as all plans must start, and you've got to bring the timbers together. You've got to have the material. It's a matter of logistics. You must have the material. You must have the manpower. You must have the ability to put it together. When God built a temple, he had the plans given to, rather the ark, he gave them to Moses. Then he had the people ready to make it, and he gave them special endowments, such as, not Eliezer, but the fellow that, doesn't matter, we'll get him another time. He gave him special endowments to work in silver and gold. He gave him that ability. And every single person had such ability by God. When they brought the temple together, there wasn't the sound of a hammer or saw. It just fitted together like like they try to make these erector sets and things today, you know. Fantastic. The Mormons tried to copy that. They're perfect acoustics. They merely have a perfect acoustics for the devil, not for God. It'll burn with the rest of them. Not that I'm anxious to see anything burn, but the point is, let's face it, that's what's going to happen. You got to take a stand somewhere, and you better take it with God. Nay, but, O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me this way? Does the potter have power over the clay of the same lump to make one lump to honor, one to dishonor? Certainly does. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, the students will tell you that this word in here means that these people fitted themselves to destruction. I agree. I have no argument, but let's read the rest. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. They didn't do it. God did it. Like Brother Branham said more than one time, it takes a bad woman to make a good woman look good. It's just like it takes the night to really make you appreciate the day. It takes a bad, brawling, stupid man to run around thinking he's macho, looking like some kind of a goon out of a gutter, think he's somebody, to make a real gentleman and a Christian really count. But you never convinced the world on that. That's just rubbish then. Let's go back to Romans, the 8th chapter. And we know that all, the 28th verse, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Notice the word purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You notice that? Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Now that's to actually call out. That's not election. The word election is often used call, but that's a different type of calling. This is actually call out by name. He actually gave you a call. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Very, very true. All right. Let me go over here to Peter now again. If I can find this one. My mind's not too good. And especially this last little while, I'm finding myself with a lot of blockages. All right. 1 Peter, we'll just read this. This is not what I want, but we're going to read it. The first two verses, 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You notice there? Elect according to the foreknowledge. Now you notice they weren't called, and they weren't called out except on the grounds of foreknowledge. Remember, to him to call your name by the gospel, you had to have the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you were elect, that you were truly called in the beginning, chosen as a favorite. See, right back there. Like Brother said, now God didn't come in, I'll take this, I'll leave that. No, he didn't do that. It was already done. It was already. It was just you making and finishing off the plan. See? Now, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. It's way back in the beginning now, according to foreknowledge, and now he calls your name through sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit calls your name unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that is the general plan of salvation. See? Okay. We just keep your finger there in Peter, and let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. And see if we just can't find something here. Okay. 2 Thessalonians, and we're reading from verse 10. This is the end time. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now that's Cain, worshiping God. Lovely morals. Fine people. Smoke a little bit. Oh yeah. Drink a little bit. Oh yeah. Cuss a little bit. Oh yeah. Chase around a little bit. Oh yeah. No problem. Lovely people. They deny the complete power and authority of God. There's no authority there. They just go their own way. Oh, they read the Bible. Well, I know, because I sit in collation with some of them. It's very interesting. Oh, they're religious. You think around here there's not a religious spirit? Oh, brother, sister, there's a religious spirit here, as high as the heavens and deep as hell. And don't tell them anything. Don't stick your neck up. Unless God really leads you, don't you stick your neck up. Casting pearl before swine is a dangerous thing. I'm not trying to make anybody a hog, but let's face it, that's the Bible. with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, they're twice dead, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know this world is just ready to be burned because they turned down the truth? And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. They're deluded already. Now what's going to happen? You're going to get a double oath. That they should believe the lie. Oh, they believe it. They're fine dandy. Oh, we can go back to Rome. Rome repented. In the face of Rome's blatant lies wherein they said it wasn't us Catholics that killed you Protestants killed us. Subtly deny the 68 million martyrs of Smucker alone ran up. Smuggling a Roman tour right now will even tell you, the guides and priests and cardinals, the whole bunch will tell you if you go there and say, and they'll blame all the carnage on the heathen as though the Catholics were massacred. Hogwash. Maybe a few originals were. But they're the killers. Let's face it, we know what Rome is. She's the beast. You know what the Pope is. He's the Antichrist. That word anti does not mean against. It means instead of. He calls himself vicar. He missed the boat on them. They believed that they all might be condemned. They believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You can't swing them from their churchianity. Now listen. Watch what I'm aiming at. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen. Chosen. You're the favorites. To salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He tells you how you prove your election, your choosing, the whole thing. Are you current with the current message? Now, the Wesleyans could not get saved under Luther. There's no way, because Luther was contaminated. There's no way the Pentecostals could come in the hour under the Methodists, because they were shot. One of the offshoots, which was Missionary Alliance, had condemned the Nyack revival and called it the devil. The speaking in tongues, they died right there. Simpson and all his gang were gone. The Nazarenes the same way. Don't try to tell me that I'm wrong. Brother Branham even had a vision of a Nazarene pastor making love to a corpse. Shoo! Well, you think the sodomy's bad. What do you think of that? Oh, he wasn't just kissing. That was the coming up to it. I shock your sensibilities. Maybe you need them shocked to see where you're at. Filth up to the past the eyeballs. Certainly, because that's all they can see is their filth, and they call it God. See? Governments let down the doors to all these things. Then they want to tell you that the church and the state are separate. Then they legislate on minority groups such as homosexuals and want to force them on the church and everybody else. Take a church to court and say, and women's freedoms are abused. Women's freedom. Let me tell you women something. You know where your freedom got you? It got you where you're screaming for child support. You're never going to get it. Oh, say the laws are getting stiff. I don't care how stiff they get. A woman shacks up with a man and she'll live with him and have babies and won't marry the guy and make him marry her. And then she wants child support. I tell you, sisters, let's get down to business. Keep your hearts and mind on Christ like you never did. Men the same way. Men of God turn their faces. I realize the risk one eye at a time. But go blind in one eye, you'll go blind the next one too. I'm not fussing anybody now. I'm just preaching the gospel here. You know, there's undercurrents at times. It tells you how you're chosen. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Paul's gospel. Irenaeus' gospel. Columba. Luther. Wesley. William Branham. Don't tell me Pentecostals had this. What we have today, no way, shape, and form. They can't come in any other way except by our gospel. We can't come in by theirs. He said, well, I believe gospel is gospel. You got to be kidding. Don't try to lump this thing in one place. There's a word for a season. There's a word for an hour. How can you get immortality applied any day but the very last day? How can you get resurrection scripture applied but any the very last day? How can you get Ephesians 1:17 except the very last day? How do you get Christ appearing to Gentiles, the Son of Man revealed, except the very last day? Come on. There's a separation going on. And I mean separation. Listen, you got their second generation young people sitting here right today. And you could be no more saved than nothing. You've listened to your parents. You listen to them preaching. But give you an inch, you'll go out there and take a mile. You'll look like the world and live like the world.
Amen.
And you'll reap it.
Right.
And you've got a choice in your soul tonight. Don't tell me you don't. Because you made a choice to make a fool of yourself maybe more than once. Right?
Amen.
You bit right.
Amen.
Let's not be ridiculous. You can listen to lies in your own mind until you're gone. And people sitting here, you can fall from your steadfastness. I can fall from mine. I've done it years ago. Get some pseudo kind of religion, some fake sobriety, some fake atmosphere. Fap. Next thing, men will be wearing robes to look like Jesus or something. You can dress like Martha Washington. You won't be Martha Washington. As Norman Brothers said, everybody that wears a beard isn't Abraham Lincoln.
Amen.
You can dress in this and that and the other things. But Brother Branham laid down a coat. I think we ought to watch it. You're called by a gospel. So I just don't know if I like that, our gospel. It's Paul's gospel. It's Moses' law. Don't tell me I know what I'm talking about. Moses' law. Jesus said Moses' law. Moses, Moses. You said God gave pillar of fire. Same pillar of fire.
Amen.
Who'd you give it to? William Branham. William Branham's gospel. Don't tell me different.
Amen.
If you don't like what I'm preaching, you will put a revolving door in, brother, sister. I got no problem. I'll tell you one thing. Brother Branham said, if you don't like to preach, you get nothing. I'm the preacher here.
Amen, brother.
You won't get nothing beside me. I walk out that door, nobody tells me anything. Come telling you the truth. And I'm not mean about it. I'm just letting you know the truth. I'm not angry. I'm a little sober tonight on things here, but that's all right. Maybe it's the way I feel at times. But we're getting down the end of the line. I'm preaching myself pretty hard because I know these things are true, brother, sister. Keep your questions for the next 30 minutes. Figure that's about all you had anyway. All right, listen. He said here to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The glory for that hour was great. That was the lion. The glory of the next hour was the ox. The glory of the next was the man. The glory today is eagle. We're getting out of here. Immortality. Well, let's keep reading. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good work and deed. Now there you see something right there. And this is all part of this thing we're calling free moral agency. Pentecostal women had a choice to listen to Brother Branham. He stood there absolutely vindicated, like I said, on Saturday night and said, I'd take a 250-page book to even begin to get near it, which is true. You know that. It'd take a 1,000-page book. Because I have to begin to delineate the great things that were said and done and things that I myself saw, where a man stand right there and tell a man exactly what his dream was. Not like what happens in Cincinnati where the man goes off cater. William Branham stood right there and told him exactly right. Because you're going to have false prophets. There's no such thing as a false prophet until there's a real prophet. There are no false teachers until there's a real teacher. There are no false pastors. There's a real pastor right down the line. Evangelism and so on right down the line. There's no such thing as a bad woman until there's a good woman first. Eve was a good woman and she fell. Adam was a good man and he fell. God made everything good. And it's going to come back. And it's going to come back better than ever. Oh, I praise God for that. Just imagine. It's going to be tremendous in the millennium just to think the devil is bound by circumstances. Ha! It'll be just like telling you and me, why don't you go out and sin? It'll be like telling a rock, why don't you get up and walk? Or telling a horse to sit down and play the piano. Or a pumpkin to play the harp. No interest. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. Satan could come by and say, we wouldn't say, what are you talking about? Look at him, see? What's with this guy? Well, he won't even get near us. Let me go a little further than Peter here, and I'll find it for you. All right, First Peter, 2nd chapter. Let's start at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisy and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. There's one way to grow in the gospel, that is by word on word on word. You grow by eating. You grow by drinking. So you eat the word. And Brother Branham said, you're not feeding on the word of a man. You're feeding on the body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eat my flesh. A lot of people understand that. So they said, let's not take communion. They're crazy. They're spiritually insane.
That's right.
They're spiritually immoral. Let's face it, you take the communion.
Amen.
And I don't care if you're living in sin, you take it. And God can whoop you real good and bring you around.
Amen.
And I don't tell you not to take it or do to, I do tell you to take it. I don't tell you not to. Because you are the one that stands before God, not me. I can be surrounded, you can be surrounded by every sinner coming through here and take the communion right now and say, praise be to God. That's between me and God and you and God. Well, isn't there a bad feature there, Brother Bale, if the church is offbeat on that, that people would lack healing? Well, the person himself might die. And they might stop some healings because it stops some faith, people wondering as what's going on. But you get to learn to live above it. Like Evan Roberts, the great Welshman. Oh, they hated him. You better back and study your histories. You're going to find at the time of Evan Roberts' revival, the insane asylums were filled with insane people. And when Brother Branham got on the road here, old J. McMillan, lovely person, he couldn't understand why Brother Branham's meetings brought forth so many insane people, because they wouldn't close their eyes. They wouldn't be in obedience.
That's right, amen.
There'll be more insanity, too. Evan Roberts going on the train that day. He was being reviled by a man. And the man, and the Christian brother, Brother Evan Roberts, couldn't understand. He said, Evan Roberts just sat there. When they got off the train, he said, Evans, he said, how is it you could sit there and take all the abuse? He said, what abuse? He said, the man that gave, oh, he said that. He said, I just tuned my ears out after the first two or three words. Why, listen. People should learn to tune into God. I'm the first one that should admit to that. And I do. Something always comes to a man and woman's heart and says, tune into me. It never fails. It always comes in every decision, every temptation. You have a choice and I have a choice with our free moral agents. Cut the word agent out if you like. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It is an agent just the same. An agent to God or an agent of sin, whichever you want to put it. Follow me? Okay, let's keep going. Now, newborn babes, if so be you tasted that the Lord is gracious, that means you're saved. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. There you are, chosen. Your favorite. See? You're on the last book of life. He had to bring the word to you. And I was speaking a while ago at a word for every age. The word that came to you signifies that you are one of the called in your name there on the last book of life by believing the gospel. So I don't know about that. Well, it's fine by you if you don't know what I do. You don't have to know what I know. Nobody has to know what I know. I have to know what you know. My body has a bad time with the cold problem. Thank God it's getting way over the hump now. I appreciate what the Lord's done. Prayers to the people. I thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And all around the world, I thank the praying people and the faithful people of God. But you don't have the least idea what I'm talking about because you don't have it. That's the way the gospel is. You can't tell somebody that he doesn't have it. How's he going to know? Now, he'll make up an excuse for it and try to get around it, but that's not going to make any difference. How are you going to get around God? Can the thing formed say to the thing, the one that formed it, why did you do me this way and why are things this way anyway? Why don't you listen to me? Wouldn't it be great if God listened to everybody? I used to think at odd time it'd be nice if God did listen. Then I got smart and realized it'd be horrible if God listened to me. Gee. Man. It's wonderful that he's able to, that he knows what he's doing, does it? Now listen, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now it wouldn't be accepted by Jesus Christ, our high priest. Now, wherefore also it is contained in scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Now notice, how was he the cornerstone? By the choosing of God. Why are you what you are? By the choosing of God. So therefore, election is not simply your name on the last book of life. It's what and who you are in the economy of God. Are you a thumb? Are you a finger? Are you an ear? Are you an eye? What are you? I don't know. But there's no mystery because Irenaeus told us there's hundreds of gifts in the body of Christ. I read it to you many, many times. Let's read it again because lots of fun going over things that are interesting. Let's read in Romans 12 chapter, which is far, far ahead of 1 Corinthians 12. Don't ever stop at 1 Corinthians 12. That was simply in the church in manifestation where they're making a brouhaha out of it and a mess. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you not to think of himself more highly, not to think but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now there's There's a thing in there, the measure. There are different measures. You watch. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So therefore a member, no gift and nothing can work separate. That's why Brother Branham was told by God, you cannot bypass the preachers. I wanted to get him off a track. I told you that. I said, come on, Brother Branham. I said, these preachers make me sick. They got to make you sick too. I said, come on, fool you on the churches. Let's have a meeting and show them what God can do. He said, no, Lee. He said, God warned me about that. I tried. I said, it won't work. I figured I'd have my way anyway. I didn't go to that way. I went to every preacher. That was in Lyman, 1957, I guess it was. I said, sir, I'd like to invite you to a meeting. You cannot sit in the platform. You cannot give $1. Not interested. But I'd like to have you come and see if this man is of God or not. Just, and if you don't believe it, come and see me. Whatever you like. And preacher said, sir, that's reasonable. I can listen to something, an invitation like that. Whether they came, I don't know. I know a dear old man came because Daddy Bosworth had mentioned how Brother Branham was a real man of God. And after the service, he broke down and wept. He said, Brother Vail, I must confess. He said, I came with fear. I thought it was just a Pentecostal mess. He said, I never saw such reverence, such grace, and such glory, and such a power of God. There wasn't one person didn't call out that wasn't healed. They were healed in their seats. People came not even wanting healing were healed. That's the first and last, the first time in years, and the last time, as far as I know, the gift of healing went into operation. 50 miracles in 50 minutes. Oh, I know the secret, brother, sister. Let people begin to pray and get themselves out of the way. You watch what God can do in your home and you and anybody else. But if you think you can do it by some little foolish thing, some little rabbit's foot or some little code, let me tell you, forget it. Forget it. Your past and all these things aren't going to do it, but the living Jesus will if you and I give him a chance. There's a price to pay. We paid a price, but it was a glorious price. I'd do it over and over again. I tried to convince others how to do it. They wouldn't listen. They were too busy. The people could not pray. We prayed for months and hours. We prayed sincerely for others. We put the bills. We did all the legwork, and God moved. Brother Brown spoke of that living statue. The church can be the living statue, brother, sister. It doesn't want to pay a price. It's too lukewarm. I'm not kidding. Now remember, I'm not chatting you. I'm just laying it on the line. I'm just quoting you scripture. The Bible said it was. And Brother Branham warned. He said it's those little things, not the big things. You hear what I said? Those little things. You hear what I said? You didn't listen. You're looking around the room. Look me in the eye. It's the little things. Look at your marriages. What is the big thing? No, you kiss and make up on the big thing, but the little things. That's where the marriages aren't heaven, but hell. That's where the home is a mess. With strife, everything else is the little things. And little kids don't like little things. And big kids don't like little things. You remember when I mentioned that old song, you know, how the goats get in, they let down the bars. It didn't say they ripped the fence up. They just let down the bars. Yeah, well, a little pastoral invocation won't matter. A little talking won't hurt anybody. I know very seldom take pastoral subjects, and I'm not tonight, but I sort of weave it in. Okay, many are one members and one of another. Bible said Jesus could not do many works because of the members. Sure, you say, well, he didn't say that. He said unbelief. Where was the unbelief? What did it matter about those birds out there? If David could run through a troop and jump over a wall, that took care of the enemy. If two guys could fight themselves, fight with the sword and through hundreds of people, what is it, Brother Ben said, 4 miles deep? I forget how many miles deep it was. What is the matter about the enemy? Oh, it's not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Yeah. It's not the preacher, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my wife, O Lord. And you can have a laugh at her, though, over the fact they made a little cliche now. Sanity is hereditary. You get it from your kids. Oh, yeah. It's not the kids, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Some people get to the place where Brother Brandon said she liked the guy because he had cute little feet. Oh, God have mercy. Little feet. All right, having gifts then differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Notice there's a proportion of faith required for prophesying. So therefore, there's a proportion of faith required for everything. Ministry, now what about ministry? What's that? Wait in ministry. Teaching, wait on teaching. And that's one of the fivefold. Exhortation, what's that? Where do you find that one? Well, we learn about exhorters. Who are they? I don't know. You're around there somewhere. On exhortation, he that giveth with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. Don't let down. Keep that rule over there. Who's the ruler? He that teaches the word of God. He that brings the word. Obey them that have the rule over you. There's your fivefold ministry again. He that showeth mercy, being real cheerful. He, he. Don't just grin the toothy grin, but mean it. Real mercy. Oh, that's all focused on. Oh, bless my heart. I think I feel a conscience pain coming on that one. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor the evil. Now listen, I warn you in their election, you are already a building stone in the temple of God, the same as Jesus was. Do you know that your purpose and plan is actually one with Jesus the Christ? Without Him you're nothing, without us He becomes nothing. In other words, He reverts back to where there was no purpose because He had not evidently coordinated all His thinking. Brother Brand said, God cannot add a thought nor take away a thought. When you begin to realize the infinite capacity of God and what infinity really is, or what infinite is, it staggers the mind. There's just no way you can understand. No way. Count the snowflakes. Number the atoms. Number what's in the atoms. Can't do it. Neither can you know the infinite mind of Almighty God. All right? So I think that pretty well covers what we had in mind here, this little dissertation, on free moral agency. And we have been, the scripture says, whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. Now, Jesus said, in this world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer, have overcome the world. Also, there is no temptation that happened to us, but it's common to all men. But God is able to make a way of escape. What's the way of escape? Through a decision. And the decision is to go through the rigors, which are called trials and suffering, by obeying the word of God. Does a person want purging? Yes, he wants purging. All right, there is a purging by the Holy Ghost. I admit that. The Holy Ghost comes into us, and therefore he does a work which was in line with the word of God. But as he begins to enlighten us, then there is a further work that is done as we obey the word of God. Now, in obeying the word of God, we begin to put out all of those things which have their counterparts from God in heaven, and they're down here in our flesh. We've got a love, and that human love is no good. So God, we begin obeying the word of God, and God is love is already in our heart. God is love is in our heart. And we begin building through the building blocks of the word and obedience of the faith. And the love of God begins moving, see. Well, you really start back in 1 Peter where it says, first of all, you start with faith. Everybody has a human faith, but that human faith is not good. The human faith can put the switch on. The human faith can say, I know I can do this, I can do that, and human faith does. The human faith can also rise to the point where it can absolutely take hold of the things of Almighty God, and that human faith can reach out and get an anointing from God and get things from God. Never get off the ground. He'll go into the ground and die, come up and go to the lake of fire after the judgment. It won't be any good. But yours and my faith is a different thing. We can set our heart to believe God and not go to the left and right, but stand right with this word and say, Lord, I believe. And as you stand there, that faith begins to push out that old faith. And you begin growing up and up. And as you grow up, it crowds out everything. Like I told you, the walnuts, they fall upon the ground. And the poison in the walnut will kill all the grass and kill the garden. And it'll put a poison there. You can't have a garden again. And if you get raunchy vegetables, you have a black color to them. You let the Holy Spirit really get in here and begin to apply the word. Then it begins to work out like a strong force of death. It becomes a death to the old man. God didn't go chop, chop. And you chopped off like the Nazarene tried to pull that little gamut of complete sanctification by going to an altar. Oh, fat. Wouldn't we all love to go to an altar and even pray for maybe a whole month on bread, no bread and no water. Just stay there so long as I'm going to get this order. Never sin again. Ha, ha. You talk about a trick of the devil. And then they say, Wesley taught this. Show me the book Wesley taught it. I've had his books. I read his little book on sanctification. My fingers went there. Foolish about this. Wesley was no theologian anyway. the sheer force of his faith and belief in God. And his habits of conduct and all were. He had something real. That brought the people. The sheer force of his own, the force of his own reality. Look at the different men that God used and how he used them. See, absolutely. God will use anybody. And what they do when they begin letting the things of God come in, it begins just killing all these other things out of there. But we're so afraid of that death, we don't let the life take over. If we walk in the light as he in the light, remember, in him there's no darkness. Brother Brown spoke of that stature of perfect man. I believe we ought to strive for that. I believe somebody. I believe it's somewhere. There's no doubt in my mind that God's word cannot fail. Won't do. I don't believe that God is going to take a people out of here that's sort of flunky to the devil and call upon his name. I don't believe that he's going to take out a halfway house people. I don't believe that. I know the blood perfects the saints. I know that true. I know the Holy Spirit does. I know she's putting on the garment of the Holy Spirit. You already got that. She's putting on the garment of the Word. I know all those things positively. And I know we're getting clothed more and more and more. And I know that in our hearts something is happening. It's happening in mine. It's happening in yours. And I'm impatient because it's not happening fast enough and big enough. And you see what I'm doing right now? I'm literally lying to you because I'm looking at that Nazarene. I say, I want to be a Nazarene, holy sanctified. No, it's not true though. I want to get to the place where I say, hey, that's it. God says this, that's it. And you say, well, that's the way to go his way because that's the right way. And always, the man that's right is the free man. Any man that's not right is not free. Now, you've already been made right by the blood. You've been called by the right word, sanctified by the Holy Ghost, put in your right position, marching on the road. And it just requires a day-by-day decision. You're not going to get it by coming to some Nazarene Pentecostal altar and just hammer and get, you know, listen, you'll make some inroads. And if your faith goes bankrupt, which it can, and you're barking up the wrong tree, you could be like the guy in Middle West years ago. Oh, he said, Brother Bill, he said, I tell you, when that blood and oil came on my hands, especially oil, he said, oh, he said, listen, before I had that oil, he said, my life was so-and-so. And he told me how desultory it was and what a kind of a conked up thing it was. But oh, he said, and I got that oil, he said, that love. And I said, oh, for Pete's sake, oil bring love. That's the same as Allen's magazine when this Anglican minister so-called. I was not, I know. He put in his paper. The man is having a bath in the bathtub, a shower. And he began wiping himself, and the blood was cut, and the white towel had blood in it. And the boy said, this is the blood of Jesus Christ. He believed it. And Alan wrote it. So, the blood of Jesus Christ on the towel? Now, no doubt the man went down the road happy with, whoa, with great things happening. There's a pit ahead, my brother, sister. One word off. I don't care what the Anglican priest got or anybody else got. I don't care what you got and I got. It's not got a thing to do with it. We got to get back to reality this hour where the Word of God is and what's going on. Then we move in there. I don't know if we're ever going to get it. There's no perfection this side of the resurrection, but brother, sister, there's a growth. Oh, yeah. I want to see us all move ahead. I want to see us walk in such love that if anything goes wrong, we can treat people in love. They'll either come all the way or they'll go all the way, one or the other. But we haven't done a thing but treat them in love. Turn the other cheek. All those things are necessary. But you see, your free moral agency, brother, sister, those words are really true words. And as I told you why, God has already told us. He's pointed us the right direction, given us the right words, filled us with the right spirit. You know, he even gave you another spirit, according to the Bible, before you were born again, in order that you could receive the Spirit of God. You don't even, people, what God's done for us. And what he's doing for us. The prophet said, you've got it all. Just lie in the presence of the Son and ripen. How are you writing me? With a rabbit's foot? No. Some little thing? No. With this word, brother, sister. Now let me tell you something. The word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword. It cuts coming and going. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. It cuts coming and going. It's like getting a fish hook in your skin. It hurts going in, and it hurts worse coming out. Amen. And the Word of God that brings that great cheer and those promises of Scriptures, when you begin listening to God's voice and building your faith to that end and standing steadfast, it'll hurt far worse. Like Brother Branham said, before you get better, you got to feel worse. Sure. But the laying down, brother, sister, may be hard, but it's the best thing in the world. I went through a lot of that. I often refuse to tell people. I won't dare tell them anymore because God takes me at my word. But I went through a period. You bet I did. Because I had to prove. Prove to myself and know. Because you can't know by me and I cannot know by you. I can tell you. And if you believe, then you will begin to know for yourself. But you'll have to go your own little... you have to face your own hardship, your own manner of living, your own trouble. What have we got? 20 minutes left? So, all right. 20 minutes for questions. That's it tonight. Free moral agents, you certainly are. So am I. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Right? Is that what the Bible says?
Amen.
Right? Jesus himself said, he said, you're going to stick with me or you're going to leave me. Okay? That's it?
Well, you talked one time of making, I don't know if these men have ever heard it, about the mediatorial work and your accessory work, and explained it so well. We were sitting in a motel room, and I wondered, thinking of this here, that actually the mediatorial work did get us in, and they looked forward to it, that the intercessory work then kept them in, because he knew they'd make a mistake, but they always had to, they could repent. And Brother Branham said, you'll still pay for it. So you see, Adam made a mistake, and they all made the mistakes, but they paid for it, and I thought they'd be good.
Well, that really is the question to answer both. The fact is that Jesus is a mediator, which means that he is there to bring you in and intercessors to keep you in. Because positively there is no perfection this side of the resurrection. And as long as there is no perfection, then there has to be a high priest interceding. And this is where people get all mixed up on the Godhead. They simply cannot understand that God is God in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire here right now in Jesus. And remember, he is so much God, Brother Brand said, we start getting into the Christ revealing his own word. He is so much God, he is a part of God. God had reduced himself to sperm and egg and fed chemically through the body of Mary to produce that one, that he became the Son, so that God could take on the form of a son in his body. Now that person is living. He's a man, the man Christ Jesus, one intercessor. And people cannot understand it. They're Jesus only. They think he sucked up the body. He did this, he did that. Come on, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, when the Lord descends the shout, we'll rise to meet the Lord near. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. That word Lord is a very peculiar word. It would take a prophet to tell you when it's Elohim and when it is or when it isn't, because it means Mister. It's a title of authority, recognition, of respect. If you listen to Brother Branham, you'll find he never did say the Son wasn't on the throne. He said the Holy Spirit was on the throne. I read that to you some time back in one of the messages. I quoted out of one of the books. My memory's no good. You know it's no good. But I can tell you what it is. I can put it together. I know that. And he said that Holy Spirit came off. He said, God, the Holy Spirit, and that is Revelation 5 and 1. That amber light, you know, was like to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone and so on. That's that amber light. That word, there it is right there. He came off and the Son went on. Now that one there is a mediator. He liveth to make intercession. He keeps us in. He said, I'll not lose one. That's how we live by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Father giveth me will come, and I will lose none. I live by that. I don't live by my faith in him. I don't live because I can keep myself pumped up or this or that or under wraps or outer wraps or this or that thing. I live because of him. It's his faith. It's his. Into thy hands I come to do thy will, O God. Into thy hands I commend my spirit, knowing that God would raise him. And the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand. And he knows what God's doing right now, making the enemies his footstool. I live by him. All authority absolutely comes through him. Everything God has and does is for us. Oh yes, he's working mightily in the bride and for the bride, to the bride. People got an idea that there's some little hellhole, let me tell you, that's getting faster and faster, this cyclotron of this powerful word of Almighty God, brother, sister. It's moving, moving, and we're moving with it. you know why he calls the stones? Why? Because the stone doesn't move. And yet it does move. Any signs will tell you everything, all mass moves. But it moves so slow that you can't tell it. So we're moving reliably stones. He's letting you know a stone isn't a lively stone. He's got light in it. Not just gems and all, which is true. But you don't see a gem move either. Sits there. So what do? You lie in the presence of the sun. So that's that the cyclotron of the Word of Almighty God, the life of the Word, the conduit. The Word is the conduit. The Holy Spirit's in there. You think it isn't? It is. Perfect manifestation. Everything's on. Everything's moving, brother, sister. Moving, moving, moving. Oh, if we'd have just even known who he was back in those days, like the priest on. You watch though. Something's going to come out of that. We're hitting levels. I tell you, God's God. He doesn't. We may fool, but God doesn't. I sat there that day. I didn't know what I'd be writing, but I'd be writing something. The answer's so simple, it just floored me. William Branham, God's prophet. Oh, my. Not a prophet of God, brothers. Don't get that nonsense in your head. God's prophet. There's a difference. The total representative of God himself, like Moses. Three times pillar of fire. Moses, William, Paul, William Branham. Well, that explained that. Top tape run out? Got a question? Read it. You can just read it if you want. A couple of them? I will take one half of the first one. That's all we got time for. Sorry, I didn't think they weren't going to take an hour and a half even. On occasion, Brother Brown stated that God would take the man, but not his spirit. That's true. Elijah taken, but his spirit remained. That's true. Judas left. That's right. Question, what spirit was left? Well, when God takes the man, the spirit left, of course, you understand he's talking about his ministry, a very special ministry, because the Bible said the spirit goes back to God who gave it. So therefore, when that's talking of death in Ecclesiastes. So when you understand that God would take our spirit, that does not come back. But let's say, for instance, that Brother Branham leaves the scene. Well, there's no sense that anybody's going to tell me that his spirit is not going to remain here, because Brother Branham said, Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not a man, God, but it comes by a prophet. And when Brother Branham left, there is no way that the Lord Jesus Christ himself left, because he is still here, because he's the head of the church to raise the dead and to lead us into the millennium. The spirit that's amongst us now will become incarnate to us in the second coming, which is literal. So that's how that goes there. And but the spirit anointed, it's just like that, let's face it, the spirit that God put upon the church of vicarhood, or vicarship, what are you going to call it? Which he said, where every single church age start, unto the messenger, which is in the church of Ephesus. And then he says, he gives a message. Then he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Paul was the Spirit of God, God himself to that age. Irenaeus was the Spirit of God, God himself to that age. William Branham is the Spirit of God and God himself to that age in a figure, as they're all in a figure, like seven spirits and seven eyes, seven candles before the throne of God. He's just telling you in seven portions, God sent the word, seven is completion, that which is perfect is come, there's no more parts. So therefore, Christ has come up through a body in portions, the conduit of the Word, until he's here now, and there's only thing left is for he himself to come. And he came in the form of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. And he's the head of the church. That's Ephesians 1:17. People don't understand that. There's no way you can get it to them. God's got to show them, because you're back in Pentecost. You're back Baptist, Presbyterian. They don't understand that baptism gave way to the Holy Ghost himself. Then what? Either you believe the prophet or don't believe the prophet. You start casting your own thoughts out and say, hey, what did he mean? What's he saying? Don't try to figure by your own thinking. Go to his thinking, see. When we get our changed bodies for the translation with the resurrected dead to meet Jesus in the air, are these bodies the glorified bodies or are they theophany? No, sir, they're glorified bodies and you meet your theophany in the air. That's exactly what he said. I used to think the theophany came down and picked us up, but it isn't. It's the little fire, little chariots of fire come down and pick us up. You meet your theophany in the air. The prophet used the expression, anything that is created is not eternal. Right. Should this be considered as doctrine or only illustration? It's a doctrine. It's a doctrine. Everything created is not eternal. Brother Branham said Jesus Christ is different from Jesus Christ. Jesus and God is Jesus had a beginning, God didn't. 1 John 3:9, whosoever born of God does not commit sin, he remaineth in him. That's right. Brother Branham absolutely said that on the grounds that when you are born again, how could you possibly then be sinful? Because you are born again and you are in God and God is in you. And the whole thing then makes one, so that you could not have any imputation of sin. He said, "The blood. How can you be a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin to the be no evidence of it?" That's exactly right. And the same judge that came down there said, he said, you are the righteous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. You didn't do it in the first place. The prophet referred to the gene of God, the germ of God, the seed of God. I believe it's all one and the same thing. I believe that we take them in certain areas which I have not studied. In certain contexts, they would mean something to us in the realm of the unfolding. But I do believe at this point you're all one. If I find something different, I'll let you know. Question. When, where, and how is the gene of God placed on his children? Well, let's face it. Brother Branham said there's a natural election, there is a spiritual election. And the spiritual election already was written out and foreordained, and it must be transferred into a natural. And I believe that's the time that God breathed into Adam the breath of life. So therefore, the scripture, that was the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said. And I know though the Holy Spirit per se left Brother Branham, that did not leave him, which was the life which has come down since then through mankind, because he absolutely categorically put Levi in the loins of the grandfather Abraham, and that was the seed coming down. And by election, that's how it takes place. In other words, the separation of the two. And remember, as in Adam die, even so in Christ all are made alive. I believe that every single person that was in Adam will come to life. There's no doubt in my mind. First or the second resurrection. Because Brother Branham said when you election is very simple. It's like you take a piece of cloth, you lay a pattern on it, and you cut the dress out. He said that represents election, but he said what's left over is identical to the cloth. He said virgins are virgins, foolish are wise, but the wise are in the election as unto the bride, and the others will miss it. They will come up though just the same, and they will bring their glory in. Remember, there's billions and billions of people have been born from Adam. There's 5 billion earth right now, and they say there were 5 billion at the time of Noah. Isn't that strange? They figured that out. So there's 10 billion people to be destroyed. At that time, the billions in between, how many? I don't know. We don't have to worry about it. But the what I'm trying to show you is the bride will be relatively small. New Jerusalem, only 1,500 miles by 15 by 15, the Cranwell City. Exactly true. The Lamb of God on the top there and the pillar of fire above that. And there'll be billions out there who bring their glory in. But they'll all be in there. Adam all died, even so in Christ all made. What were dead? The sons of God. But now you see, there's got to be a natural, there's got to be a physical. And remember, Jesus himself was in the election. And notice how they traced him right down. They traced him down to Mary, because Mary, not the men, but the men produced Mary. See, then it came where Mary couldn't have a husband. No, wait. So she became an incubator. So that's pretty well the answers there. That's very fast, but that's the best I can do. The conduit always is the Word. Even the Holy Ghost himself had to have a manifestation. So there he is, a picture taken. So therefore, there must be something that you and I can use. And all we can do is apply that Word. And applying the Word means living the life that the Word sets forth. And when you claim your family on that ground, there is no more that I can understand you could possibly do. No more. That would be claiming the token, the protection of Almighty God, to see them through and literally come to the place of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And if they never came into that, they would come up in the second resurrection. That'd be about the best I could see that. But there's no way that you and I can apply the Holy Ghost to anybody or anything. It's got to be God doing it. But you could make room for the application thereby. And thereby you yourself then, as it were, applying. Like Brother Branham. You kind of begin to see what a prophet is. Then you see yourself as a lesser prophet. Like Brother Branham said, he was Messiah. We're Messiahs. You know, he was Christ, we're like Christ is, which is true because he was the anointed one. And the anointing, we are simply anointed, but we cannot be anointed one, the anointed one, but we can be. So therefore we can follow in his steps the best we can and then see what comes of it. Because that's the only way I can possibly see you could apply the token. There's a connection with the Word there. It's got to be Word. That's it. Time's gone? All the time, that's enough time. An hour and a half is more than I ever do. Hardly. Okay, the Lord bless you. Sunday morning, I don't know what we're going to get to. I trust I'll be here. I'm not positive. Let's rise at this time, if you don't mind. I don't know just where I'm going to get to Sunday morning. If I touch something or if I feel good enough to preach, I get to where I don't feel like preaching because I'm so happy taking a vacation. Do you know I haven't had a vacation for years? Now, you might think I had, but I was sick for 5 months, 6 months. That's no vacation. If you think being sick's a vacation, I tell you what. Have a big vacation and then come back and report how much fun you had. Not that I want fun exactly, but you know, I'm not on vacation, so I just hope. I was just kind of thinking maybe if I could get away a day or two, actually get away. We'll see anyway. You pray for me, I pray for you every day, and we'll see what the Lord brings us on Sunday. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's been a great privilege to be with your dear saints here. Lovely children of Almighty God who love you, Lord, and we know that they do love each other, Lord. And I trust, Lord, nothing was said too harshly. Understand me how I preach. Not trying to bring anything to anybody on anybody's shoulder, Lord. Essentially, on mine or anybody else's, but pointing this word to God. We just all have a responsibility. We must all stand in the judgment day, Lord. And as the prophet said, what's going to judge us? Christ. But what is Christ? He's that word. We don't know him outside of that word. There isn't any way, Lord. And so therefore, how can anybody know us except there's a word standard? And they wouldn't know us that way, maybe, but that doesn't matter. As long as you know us that way, and you know, and we know, that's how we stand. Oh, God. That's the big thing. That's where the real conscience is. That's where the real thing is. That's where the moral agency is, Lord. Help us, Father, to realize we are free moral agents. Oh, God, we are free, and by the grace of God, we are moral. We've left our immorals, Lord, and our righteousness, our wrong ways, all these things. And we're your agent, Lord. Tell us to come. Tell us to go, Lord. We've tried to be that way. Don't know how successful, Lord. We just get very discouraged ourselves. But, oh, God, your prophet said, in total weakness, there's total strength. Help us, Lord, to get down to the place where we're no longer just strong enough to sin and to fool around. We're even too weak to do that. Just everything, get out of here. Everything, get out of our lives, and that Christ might come in and give us the true strength and power of God in our lives. Bless each one of the youngest, oldest, Lord. We love everybody here. And just trust, Lord, that same love is in your cyclotron of grace and beauty, Lord, magnified, glorified, coming back upon us and in and through us until, Lord, there's no hypocrisy anymore. There's love without hypocrisy. Just a genuine born-again people here living the Word, O God, because there's a genuine living God
living in a genuine living Word through us. That's the thing. You and us and we and you, Lord. And the people realize this. We realize it. And how the love of God comes in our hearts and souls, walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, that's the vista of glory we see today. We've hungered and longed for it, Lord. Surely, Lord, the prophet was right when he said, if there is a deep calling too deep, there's got to be a deep answering. And there's a deep in our soul tonight, Lord. There's a deep in our soul. We may sound very superficial, very shallow times, but, Lord, the deep is there. There's been a facade, Lord. There's been a cover over, but you know our hearts. You know our hearts, Lord, and our hearts hunger for Thee, O God. As the heart pants after the water, but we hunger for Thee, O God. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is more than life. May we know it, see it, and glorify Thy name in it. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You love Him tonight? Okay, just sing I Love Him. They're a pretty fine bunch of people. You know, good scrappers. All right, in the sight of God. And you know, each one had his own banner, and they walked in ranks. And I think the reason they have an army do that way is so the army doesn't fight itself. But they're out there to fight the enemy. So let's get tonight a banner. Let's take the songs of Solomon, the banner over us is love. And be that army of God. And get rid of the gigging and the anything. I'm not saying anything is here, but I just say we're human, so there's bound to be something. You know, I'm not like the farmer who kicked the pig every time he saw him. I say, why do you kick your pig? Well, he said he's either coming out of trouble or going into it. Now, I'm not saying that. You know that maybe a little joke here, but I'm not joking in my mind. I'm bringing you the truth. And we're not saying there's anything, but we're human beings. And as long as we take that banner of love, and I know David's not here, so I can tell you something real cute that happened. There's a certain friend of mine went visiting up in a certain part of the country. And so he visited this fellow, and they began talking about the church, how they loved the church. And the fellow said, yeah, he said, you know what, though, he said, I tell you, that Dave Osmick, he said, I'd like to be like Dave Osmick. And I thought, that dirty dog, he didn't say Lee Vale. No, I didn't think that at all. I was so thrilled to hear that. And I thought, even if there's one person in the church that somebody else can say that about. And I said, boy, that's good. We got something that we can rally around. Not a man, but something God has done in the light. And I appreciate that. And, of course, I've heard some compliments about other people, too. But I thought that's the greatest thing I ever heard. So let's have this banner of love and really mean it. And no matter what it costs, it's going to cost more not to have it. And it'll cost a whole lot less to have it. And end up a whole lot better. So take the name of Jesus with you.